in a nutshell, just condensed what I had planned. It was condensed already, but now it's going to be more condensed. And then we're going to jump right into communion. But please, let's just put our cultural, historical lenses of taking communion and having moments like this. Let's not throw it out, but let's just put it aside to make sure that the Holy Spirit has space to get in there again, that the Word can speak to us again. Man, I posted a thing. Now that we're talking about wasting time, let me tell another story. I posted a 5-minute video clip of a guy in New York just gathering cans and selling it and how he lives. And then at a later stage in that video, he just lights up when he refers to God's grace on his life and his salvation. And he's like asking God one day, why did you pick me? And the joy of his salvation I saw in that moment. And I was in tears. I watched it about probably 6 times. But there was a reality of the victory of salvation in that man's eyes and in his testimony. And we need to be careful that we don't become blasé or complacent. Thank you for the good high English there. That we become complacent with the things of God. So let's put all that aside as if we're hearing some of these things afresh today for the first time. So we've been petitioning heaven for new life for quite a while now. And we've seen, and I don't want to put people on the spot, but there's a number of people under these lights tonight that have had massive breakthroughs in whose lives we could see new life. But we want to petition for more. We want to see salvations. I saw, by the way, in worship, as I was coming up, Lord, trusting for a word, I saw that the Lord is handing out brand new nets, like fishing nets. Brand new fishing nets to a number of people. I saw you, Carla, specific. But there's a couple of people that the Lord is saying, here's a brand new net. In other words, this is the way in which you'll be able to fish people for my kingdom. And so we didn't even have to wait for Nastasha or for Joan to get on stage again. But I believe the Lord is calling us for the harvest in this time. And you might have the net already at work, in your family, in your prayer closet. So please, let's respond to what the Lord is doing, because we're trusting for new life, not in even just in our lives, but definitely in our area for salvations. And so tonight I want to just establish one simple thing. Alreen said, getting back to basics or keeping it simple in what she prayed. And I just realized sometimes we need to get back to the bare basics because it's so good. And I want to ask you, do you believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? When we take communion tonight, do we know what it means to partake in the blood of Jesus Christ once again? I don't care if you've done it a million times in church, in different ways, but do you still believe, as we believe in the power of prayer for healing, do you believe in the power of the blood and the bread that is Jesus Christ, His body and His blood? That's what we're quickly going to look at, and then we're going to jump in doing that, and we're going to make it public, as we heard earlier, because I believe it's a public declaration, a testimony to the spiritual realm and to ourselves of what we believe. Now, in the Old Testament, we know Jesus wasn't there, but He was there in a big way. And so many of the prophetic things that happen there, very much practically and physically, is for us a spiritual picture of Christ, who then fulfills it all. And so in Leviticus 17:11, we see the following: for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I know this is any, I'm not going to ask, any vegans, please don't put up your hands. We'll pray for you afterwards. But you see there in Scripture, God sets them up. He says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Please remember this. The life is in the blood. That's what God ordained. I didn't make this up. It's not in a biology book. God ordained that the flesh carries the blood that carries the life of a person or a soul, or in this time, an animal. And I've given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. What is atonement? Anybody? Don't read. What is atonement? It fixes the problem. Atonement fixes the problem. Anybody, what's atonement? Do the Afrikaans people know it's not the thing in your shoe? That's something else. It's the King James for twinner. Anybody, what's atonement? Forgiveness, yes. But there we see, it is that interesting. Hebrew word, it's to cover, it is to forgive, it's to cleanse, it's to reconcile, it's to purge, it is to pardon. And so why on earth does sin need to be pardoned by blood? It is a bit gross, it's a bit weird, but it makes sense if you just quickly break it down. Why do you think we need blood where there was sin for atonement? Well, we don't have time for these pregnant, silent moments, so let me quickly read to you. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." For the wages of sin, missing the mark of God's rules. We've just heard how Nita beautifully put that. But for missing the mark, we see that the penalty of that is death. So all sin leads to? And the life is where? So how do you take the death away, the sting of death away? By using the blood. Because what is in the blood? Boom! There we go. We've got it. Exodus 12 says, "Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of their houses where they eat the lambs." You know this by now. You've heard the story in Exodus of the Passover. Israel encamped there, enslaved there. God saying, "I'm going to lead you out, but this is what's going to happen lastly. You need to," and then you take the lamb, you take the blood, because we know by now that atonement is when we use the blood, for the life is in the blood, and we want to cancel the sin, because otherwise we cannot be righteous before God. And so verse 8 says, "That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, and bread made without yeast." Now on the lighter side, all I see there is I see braai and braai broekies. Do you see that? It's just, this is so godly. Braai en brood. I'm just saying. And anyway, getting back to the main theme, I just thought I'd leave it there. Verse 12, let's keep a couple of verses because we are quickly looking at the Old Testament. Where's Jesus? How does this work? Because we just don't want to just take communion. We want the full punch and the victory and the public truth of this to echo in the Spirit over us and our homes. So that when we take it, we have the full victory of what Christ did in this day and age. "On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment, because sin leads to death. God is a holy God. Judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Just as we want the sin that leads to death and the effect of them, that to pass over our lives, our families, our marriages, our children, likewise, they very practically, Lord said that to them. "And I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." And so this holy God says, I am a God that actually deals with sin. I deal with disobedience, for I'm a good and holy God. But here, I'm also a gracious God, and here is the blood. And so we prophetically see that, and obviously it reflects into the New Testament, where we find whom? Jesus. Oh, I read this later on in John 1:29. John the Baptist says, he stood up and he sees Jesus coming along in the road. He said, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" So now we know from Exodus, they immediately knew in the context what he was talking about. Here comes the full and final perfect Lamb that will shed his blood. Because what? In the blood is the life. And the life needs to trump the death of sin in all of our lives. And so John saw that. And tonight I pray that we see it as well. In John 6, Jesus then says the following. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Guys, if people in this world, you might think they're nice and they're good. If they do not eat, I'm not saying taking communion per se. I'm just saying if they don't fully partake, eat the flesh of Christ and drink his blood, they can have no life. You can think they're quite cool. They can be hip and happening and they can be influences and you know, you name it. But if they do not eat Christ and drink his blood, they can have no life and not even eternal life. Let's read. "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Yuri, may I ask that you and somebody else just start handing out the communion, and let the rest of us, we're just going to focus. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. And whosoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. So we see here, out of the Old Testament, Jesus says, I am that final sacrifice, and my blood you need to drink. He does not say it is a symbolic blood. He says, this is my blood. And so there's schools that actually have big fights. People have died at the stake. Sorry, again, a bright term. I'll stop doing that. They've died in a fire because of fight around communion and what it is and what it's not. Showing us that it has great spiritual relevance. Where the battle is, there is something of value. So if people are getting killed because of baptism, it means there's a big fight. It means there's something valuable. And likewise for that. Let's just keep our focus. We're almost there. And so Jesus said, this is who I am. And then what happened the last night before he got crucified? He had the Lord's Supper. We instituted exactly what we're going to share tonight. Now, why is the blood powerful to you? Anybody, just quickly, why is the blood powerful to you? Is the blood powerful to you? Why is it powerful to you? Sorry? Freedom, yes. Protection, yes. Washed away my sins, yes. Anybody else? Healing, yes. But see, Ida achter gave us life. I love that. Exactly. So if we're talking new life, we need to know what the power of the blood is. Because that's where it all starts with Christ. I can't go into all of it, but quickly, eight effects. You can just remember these and go meditate on them. For you and your household, this is so important. The effect of the power of the blood is the following. It is for forgiveness. You can go read the scriptures. It is for cleansing. It is for redemption. In other words, you can be made redeemed, or you can be redeemed for the true purpose that your life was meant for in the first place. You might feel, I've lost my life. God says, I can redeem through my blood. Each and every one refers to the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness, cleansing, redemption. The next one. Justification, that is to stand righteous before God again. And so all these things are powerful benefits when we drink the blood and when we receive the blood. Sanctification, that is to be made holy, to be set apart. Peace, this one actually brought me into the kingdom in a big way because I had no peace. I had so much turmoil in my heart. I had so much anguish. And so when I met Jesus, when I received the blood really and fully, peace restored to me. And then the last two is access to the throne. The blood gives us access to the throne. And lastly, and this is actually the one that I wanted to get to, in the day and age we live in and what we heard throughout this service up to this moment, it helps us to overcome the enemy. Who would love to overcome the enemy? Enemy. No, this is not Finding Nemo. This is just me struggling with English sometimes. Overcoming the devil, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And so, I want to just ask you, we know now what the Israelites had to do in Egypt, but what do we need to do to apply the blood? Anybody, what do we need to do to apply the blood? Take communion, yes, that's good. What else? How do I apply the blood? Do you take little branch of hyssop, put it in a bowl with blood, and then you smear it? How do I smear it upon my heart? How do I sprinkle it upon my heart? Pray, yes. Time in His presence, yes. What else? Read the Word, yes. Faith, yes. I believe there's a couple of things, but there's one that stood out. It's one from Derek Prince. First thing, we need to believe. Do you believe in the blood of Christ, that it does all those things? Cleansing, sanctification, justification. It heals, it restores. You need to believe it. Second thing, you need to confess and pray it. Let's look at Revelations 12:11 a little bit slower before we take communion. They overcame him. That's the enemy. That's the devil and all his schemes. And you can think of a lot that he tries in your life. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. And so the revelation Derek shared that I totally agree with, and the first time that I heard that, is that that testimony is all of the testimony of God in our life, but that testimony is also testifying about the blood. In other words, it is not only saying I receive and believe in the blood, but it is testifying that I believe what the blood does for me. It is testifying. It is speaking. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. What is in the power of the tongue? Life. And so what do we do when we speak? We partner with life. What is in the blood? The life. Again, we see these two things. So if I say in the blood is life and I believe it and I speak it with my mouth, where do I sprinkle that? I confess that in the spiritual realm and my heart is stirred. And so this is maybe one thing that I've not done well enough. I pray about the blood a lot. I stir my heart up. But it's to say to my kids, do you understand this? Yes, Dad. Say what you understand. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ aloud. And you might think, what? But that is how you rule and reign in the Spirit. That is exactly how we rule and reign in the Spirit. We don't go around doing it everywhere, but we can do it here. So the first thing is we believe. Second thing is we confess we actually believe in the blood. Third thing is we walk in the light. Here's a very, very important thing for us, is that John 1:7 says, but we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. This is us. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Just quickly, what does that mean? It means, do you want to make the blood of Christ ineffective in your life? Do you? How can you? You can by staying in the dark. You can by not walking in the light. It is when we confess, it is when we speak things and bring it into the light that the effect and the power of the blood is seen. That is why I believe accountability is so important. Sharing your innermost thoughts is important, not to everybody, but there where you can trust, there where you are loved, there where you are safe and where there's a safe space where you can say, here's my vulnerabilities brought into the light. Here's the sin, the death, but I want the blood. And here the blood can be effective. So please do not be fooled by the enemy in keeping away, keeping things in the dark. Again, I'm not saying sharing it with the whole world. I've got a couple of people who I share my stuff with. But I do need to share my stuff for the power of the blood to be effective. And the last thing is, we take communion. I'm sorry that it sounded like, what's that shotgun preacher? But I had little time and we needed to create this space where we have this understanding. So just to recap, we know from the Old Testament that the blood was very effectively used and put there by God. For it carries life to cancel what? Sin. And for us to be atoned, to stand in right, be in right standing with God, we need the blood. And so Christ said, here is my perfect, spotless life for you. Here's my blood. And through my blood, here's new life where death wanted to come and kill and steal and destroy. Here's new life. Peter, you guys, you're welcome to come up once you've figured that out. Thank you. And then the one thing that stood out tonight is we can testify. So often we do communion in silence by ourselves. But I want us to quickly, and I'm going to put you on the spot now, turn to each other, two or three maybe at most. That's what you do now. Because I want us to testify of what the blood means. I want us to publicly and aloud say to somebody, and I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can go to that last slide, please, John. The second last one, that's a bit of a summary. Perfect. And so what we do is we're going to come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive my sins. And then we're going to confirm, I believe what I'm doing today. And please don't do this if you're not sure. Then you can rather say, I elect not to do that. I confirm that I believe. And then you confess, what does the blood actually mean to you? You say, I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ for me and my household. I believe in its effect for forgiveness, cleansing, redemption, justification, sanctification, peace, access to Him, and overcoming the devil. That is what I believe the blood does for me and my household, for instance. Then if there's anything that you sense you need to share with somebody, walking in the light, you do so. And then we take communion together. You can please just quickly put up 1 Corinthians, what is it, 11. The previous, just before that, let's just read. When you do that, you're going to do the following. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this lastly of the four things what we're doing, we're reminding ourselves. In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. And here comes another very important point tonight. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Maybe just flight that slide. There's a quote from Derek Prince that maybe just gives some context of why this is important. I've discovered in dealing with demon powers and have dealt with them for years, they're not afraid of theology. They're not afraid of denominations. They don't care what church you belong to. But you talk to them about the cross and the blood of Jesus and they tremble. They literally tremble. Thank God. And so this just brings some context to why it is important tonight to come together with one another and say, whatever the enemy had thrown at us, we declare the blood of Jesus Christ. Not emotional, not to the goose flesh, but for what the punch is in the spirit. For what we heard earlier, what Jesus had done on the cross. So please take this time and publicly declare what you believe. If you don't believe, don't do it. But if you believe, declare. Plant it in the spirit and plant it in your heart. Let's turn to one another. If you don't have somebody, put up your hand and I'll fix that. But let's take a time out to take communion properly. You're welcome to continue to pray. I'm just going to end for us so that those that need to run can run. But Lord, I thank you that the wages of sin is death, but death shall pass us over as a church community. Death shall pass us over as individuals. Death shall pass us over as families. And death shall pass over the children of this family in Jesus Christ's name. Because of your blood. Because we can testify. We can partake. And we can receive it. But we can live it. Thank you, Jesus, for giving new life unto us and unto eternity. We wholeheartedly say thank you. We receive it afresh in this season for our whole church community as far as we may. And we say, your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.